Sociopath cons me out of $25,000. So I report his organized crime to the IRS and cost him $500,000. Here's what happened. Subscribe to Am I the Jerk on YouTube and hit the bell for notifications. I was to be married to a very OCD and pragmatic man. For example, for him, a big romantic gesture had been to leave me alone for 24 hours at the hospital right after I had our son, so he could go pay bills and mow the lawn. 20 years later, I do understand he really did express love this way, but that's another story. I was in dire need of physical contact because he'd never touched me, unless he wanted very bland intercourse. And also, he never ever kissed me. This story isn't about him, it's only a preamble. So I divorced him. Not just for what's above, mind you, but I felt alone and unloved in this relationship. I just wrote about it to explain the state of mind I was in when I met this other person that we'll call Jerk. Jerk was the total opposite. He was very in tune with his emotions, and he was very, very intense. This will be important later. He expressed love like I thought I needed. On our first date, the waitress asked how long we'd been together, since he was so into me and touching me. He made me feel amazing. He had a huge house and a rather flashy lifestyle, so I assumed he was really well off. He told me he owned a car wash and a phone marketing company. If we fast forward a bit, at this point we've been dating for about a year, and he had just asked me and my son to move in with him. I wasn't 100% sure, but he prepared the room for my son nonetheless. As I started spending more time in his house, still keeping mine, I also started to see strange behavior. He'd be up all night but sleep all day. I also overheard a few phone calls where he was telling people they owed money and needed to pay, but the conversations didn't fit with a car wash or phone marketing business. At some point, he told me he was having money problems. He said huge clients were late in paying, and that this was jeopardizing his house payments. So I, stupid me, offered to help. I'm missing a part of this story because it started as me offering help with the house since we were there a lot. Still had my house though, but it ended up with me lending him $25,000. I can't for the life of me remember that progression. The loan was supposed to be for 3 weeks, he said. I'd have it all back in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. That 25K came from my retirement savings and my son's college money, so I had to pay a fine to access it. It's also money it took me 10 years to put aside. That money was very important to me. During those 3 weeks, I went out to have drinks with my friends and found him on a date with another woman. I saw him French kissing another woman. I said nothing, went to his house, packed my bag, and left. So anyway, I thought he'd be an adult and would still reimburse the 25K at the end of this 3 weeks. Big mistake. Someone I knew told me he was glad I left and proceeded to tell me about him. He said Jerk was a junkie, hooked on all kinds of stuff, hence why he was so intense and so into his emotions. That also explained the erratic sleep patterns. But the final blow was when he told me that Jerk was also a con man, a specialist in defrauding older people by phone. His so-called phone marketing company. In the beginning, I wasn't sure I believed it, but then bits of what I had overheard in the last year started to make sense, and I realized it was all true. Back to this later. I tried getting my money back many different ways, and none worked. I was at the end of my rope, and since it was in my year post-divorce, and right after the 2008-2009 economic crash as well, I was very broke. So this is what I did. First, he'd given me access to pay bills online, not to his bank accounts, but to his emails. So I was able to investigate all his accounts with the same password. I printed and screenshotted every little bit of information relating to money. I found proof that he was indeed scamming people, and found the people he worked with, and even the name of the person at Western Union who facilitated the money transfer. I found out he was an organized criminal. I also found out he did this between the US and Canada. It was at this point that I started preparing Strike One. For Strike One, I printed his face and the face of everyone working for or with him in defrauding people, and left hundreds of flyers in his neighborhood. I also called the Hotline for Financial Crime Prevention in both Canada and the US and gave very specific details and names. Know that even if he had given me the money, this goes against my core values, and I would have done the same thing either way. At this point, I was preparing strike two. I was dumb in lending him money, but at least I did it the right way. I had written him a check. I didn't do cash. I wanted proof just in case. It would turn out to be a good idea. On the check, I had written that it was a loan. Thank you, Judge Judy, for this tip. Since he didn't pay me back, I prepared an invoice and sent it to myself from his hacked email. When the time came to do my taxes, I filed the $25,000 as an expense using this invoice. I have many freelancers, and I just slid him in as one of them. And it passed. Don't ask me how I got his social security number, I can't remember. But I ended up having access to it, so I ratted him out to the IRS for hiding income. I found out later on through friends that the IRS started investigating him for unpaid taxes. I heard that he had to pay 38% taxes on that $25,000 and pay a 20% fine for not declaring income. At this point, I was satisfied. I figured $9,500 in taxes plus $5,000 in fines was 50% of what he owed me. At least he didn't get away with it all. But remember, I told you on the check I had written that it was a loan. So I took him to court and won. He didn't even show up. So he has to reimburse the full $25,000 plus court fees, plus what he owes to the IRS. So it's $39,500 that he has to pay for not reimbursing $25,000. To this day, I still haven't seen a cent, but the rest of the story makes it worthwhile. At first, I thought the financial crime call I made had no effect. Well, it's now the cherry on top. What I didn't know at the time is that the IRS would team up with the wire fraud division and look at everything he did. They weren't able to catch him on the wire fraud. But since the house he had didn't fit with the money he was declaring, they got him on tax evasion and gave him a certain delay to pay back taxes. I heard it was only 3 months, but I don't know if it's accurate. They got him so good, they ended up freezing his accounts and he lost his house. The bank foreclosed it, and his debt to the IRS is still open. We aren't in the US, so he won't go to jail for this, however. But my $25,000 that he didn't want to repay ended up costing him over $500,000. And since you can't go bankrupt for a debt you owe to the government, I'm happy to tell you that at 40 years old, he had to move back in with his parents and ask for welfare, and will probably be paying this for the rest of his life. This story isn't finished, however. I just learned that he now has a job as a concierge in the apartment building of his parents. So I'll be contacting the court to have the money he owes me taken directly from his pay. The thing is, he has no idea I'm the culprit of all his bad fortune. And he recently sent me a message telling me he misses me, that I was an angel for him and he regrets what he did. Well, not me, jerk. Not me. Okay, let's address the elephant in the room. Our original poster knows that this was a really stupid decision to make. That's why they took the time to clarify what mindset they were in when they got into this, and even acknowledged it multiple times throughout. So they know in hindsight, and probably had a sneaking suspicion at the time, that this wasn't a good idea. Unfortunately, our poster let their emotions get in the way and made a stupid decision. I think we're all guilty of it once in a while. This is a big one, but we'll move past it and try and be understanding. Our jerk in this story, however, is the lowest of the low and deserved everything he got. It's a shame the money goes to the government and not the people he actually took it from. But that's another story. I really despise people like this, that prey on the elderly over the phone and try and scam them out of everything. These people have saved their entire lives, and this is all the money they have. And he thinks it's okay to just trick them into giving it to him. That takes a really special kind of person to be okay with thinking that way. I think the jerk should consider himself lucky that our original poster decided to do this the legal way and not make it personal. After all, she knows where you live and everything. She could have done a little extra damage if she wanted to. You can submit your own stories to be featured here on the channel. The story submission link is in the description below. And if you want to listen to some vibey music in the background, check out Easy Mode, also linked below. And don't forget to subscribe. The company's owners laughed in my boss's face when he tried to buy the business, so he put them completely out of business. In the 1980s, my boss became the showrunner for the shop he worked at. He was in charge of everything. He effectively owned the place in every way except actual ownership. He eventually got tired of running the place without having any ownership, so he talked to some banks and investors and got enough money together to buy the company. He arranged a meeting with the owners, who were very hands-off and trusted him to run everything for them, to present his proposal. Normally, a single meeting won't be enough for something like this, and he didn't expect it to be. But the owners had different ideas. He presented them the offer, and they laughed at him. They asked him why they would sell the business to him when they'd make so much more money by watching him run it. Needless to say, my boss was hurt and ticked. He put in his 2 weeks' notice on the spot, which they also laughed at, believing he wouldn't leave. Imagine their surprise when he did. A few months later, my boss had purchased a competitor business and rebranded it, but was having difficulty gaining new business to supplement the weak list of clients the company had come with. As I said, my boss ran everything at the old company, and he's always been very hands-on. This included sales, and he had personally interacted with all their customers at some point. This particular company made all employees sign a contract saying they wouldn't actively try to steal clients away should the employee leave. And my boss knew he'd be in enormous legal trouble if he did, so he couldn't directly go to his old customers as a sales call. What he did was call to apologize for his sudden departure from Company A. Nothing more. Naturally, considering the good relationship he had with these clients, they'd asked where he'd gone and showed interest in following him. Fast forward a few years, and boss's new company now has almost all the original clients from Company A, who tried to sue when they found out about the clients, but ended up losing. The owners of Company A approach my boss. They tell him Company A is going bankrupt, and unless they can find a buyer, they're going to lose everything in the process. Would he still be interested in buying the company now? Maybe even using it as a second location? My boss smiles and tells them, "Why would I buy your business when I make so much more money by watching you lose it?" I really don't see why the owners would expect a different response. I guess they're just grasping at straws, trying to save some money from the dumpster fire that their company has become. Either way, even if it did make sense for the original poster's boss to financially buy this, I don't think he would do it just out of pure spite. Considering he worked really hard for this company and was essentially laughed at his face in return, I don't think he's going to want to be doing you any favors.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Karen gets a free ride but won't buckle up, so she can enjoy a nice taxi ride home. This happened roughly 4 years ago. I worked at an office about a 45-minute drive from my house, and I had a friend who worked in the office I would give a ride home to. It was on my way. I literally passed by her house to go to and from work, so it was no big deal. Well, a woman who worked in my office lived really close to her and found out about the arrangement, and wanted in. She guilted my friend into asking me since it was on my way, and I said okay. Well, at the same time, my late husband's car was in the shop, so I made a detour to pick him up. And he's a giant of a man, 6'3", and could not physically fit in the back. So to make things easier, my friend would just sit in the back. Well, the other woman, known as Karen, was a big woman. Not tall, but big. So on the way home, literally the first time she starts getting in the front, I explain to her that she is to sit in the back. We get to my husband's job site and I park and text him. She jumps out of the car and gets into the front. I tell her she needs to go back to the back. And she straight up says no because the seatbelt in the back is too tight and it hurts her chest. I tell her too bad. She can get out if she doesn't like it. Well, she gets out and goes to the back seat. My husband gets there and climbs in. I start the car and the seatbelt warning light is on and beeping. She has the seatbelt off. I say, you need to put the seatbelt on. She says that she can't and it's easier if she's in the front. Well, I say, you're in the back and we're not going anywhere until the seatbelt is on. She crossed her arms like a child and says, I guess we're not going anywhere. I tell her if she doesn't put the belt on, she can get out and walk home. With a nice bit of snark, she says, well, you better call me a taxi. That ticked me off, and that's what I did. I called a taxi. She puts her belt back on, but I say, it's too late. Get out. You have a taxi coming. I tell her, you can get out of my car now, or the police will be happy to remove you. She got out, and her jaw almost hit the road as I drove away. Afterwards, my friend and I never let anyone from work in my car again. Some people just don't quite know how to say thank you when you're doing them a favor. You're not obligated to give this person a ride home, and it doesn't sound like you're particularly associated with her, more your friend. You're doing this just to be a nice person. There's a couple simple rules along the way, and one of those is you have to sit in the back because my husband's a big guy. He needs the space up front. Sorry. If you're really not happy with it, then I guess that's your other option. Take a cab. Otherwise, just shut up and tolerate it for the next little bit until you're home. And next time, you can make your own arrangements. I kept getting randomly selected for locker searches, so I decided to leave them a present that would make them never want to look in there again. Many years ago, I worked for an outdoor activity center slash playland in the retail department. Throughout the park, there were many different shops that we manned, and I absolutely loved working there, despite it being hard work for little pay. One day, I had a run-in with a manager who seriously berated me in front of the entire team, along with others from other departments. I was advised by a manager from a different team to make a formal complaint, which I did. Others came out with similar complaints, and said manager was advised to find employment elsewhere, but not sacked. Now, unbeknownst to me, I triggered the chain of events that would lead to me leaving the company. Now, for the main story, there's some background info that's relevant. There were a few rules in place that were designed to prevent theft, including no more than 10 pounds to be allowed on the shop floor, which was to be checked before your shift. Anything over this must be declared to management and left in your locker, and all staff had to agree to random locker or pocket searches. In the 2 years I'd worked here, I had never been picked for a random search. There were several hundred employees, so the odds were incredibly slim. As soon as our disgraced manager left, I suddenly found myself picked at random for a search. This involved turning out my pockets, removing my shoes and socks, and then being escorted to the locker room to empty the contents out. Nothing was found, so I was sent back to the shop floor. The following week, I was again picked at random for a search, which again turned up nothing. Rumors were soon going around that I'd upset my department's remaining management team, after instigating the action against my former manager, and they were trying to force me out using any means necessary. I realized that I needed to act, so I started job hunting and then came up with my plan. I started taking a backpack to work filled with 20 pounds in pennies. Every morning I declared the amount in my locker as required, and sure enough, after a couple of days, I was once again selected for my weekly random search. I got paid to watch a security guard and supervisor count 2,000 pennies. As expected, I passed said search, and off I went. This happened a second time, with now 30 pounds in pennies, and I decided to up my game. At the start of the following week, I patiently awaited my random search with glee, knowing what awaited them. The day soon arrived, and off I was marched to the lockers, ready for their treat. I lift out my backpack and pass it to the security guard and supervisor, who dive straight in without any gloves. Oh, how they retched when they discovered what was in there. I had several pairs of my period-soaked pants waiting in there especially for them. They were gingerly laid on the floor beside my bag as they counted my bag of pennies. The smell from the pants was unreal. They'd been festering in there for days in anticipation. Once again, the search revealed nothing, and off to work I went. After that, I wasn't picked for another search. I left after a couple more weeks to find a new job. And by keeping in touch with some people, I discovered that a new rule was implemented that tried dictating what you could and couldn't take to work with you. This soon led to a mass walkout of staff, and after a year, the place shut down due to unrelated matters. Okay, just to get this out of the way, that's gross. But the results speak for themselves. This isn't something our original poster should have been subjected to. They reported behavior that needed to be reported, whether it's coming from a management team or not. And these claims were supported by several others working there. So why management would go out of their way to try and run these people out of the company is beyond me. If that person was a jerk to the employees, I'm sure they weren't that pleasant to work with either. Why are you looking out for them? They're already gone. I don't know if this is some kind of preemptive strike to try and protect your own jobs because you think that our original poster is going to be coming after you now, but they won't unless you give them reason to. In this case, our original poster had enough and decided to take matters into their own hands, in their own very creative way. When you subscribe, make sure to hit the bell to turn on notifications. Put the playlist on in the background to finish listening to all the stories. Or if you want some vibey music to put on in the background, check out Easy Mode. If you like Am I the Jerk, give Am I the Genius a shot. Everything linked in the description.